If you would, please turn to Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. And while you're turning there, I want to thank you guys for coming out and supporting our youth group and all the hard work that they put into this, because we've been practicing for a while. And Josh and Mary for all the encouragement that they give us. So thank you all just for coming out. Pray for me, because I kind of struggled in the early service with this message, so just pray for me. But once you get to Jonah chapter 1, if you would please stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll be starting in verse 1. It says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him, and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, Every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord, and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah, and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. You may be seated as we pray. Dear Lord, we come to you this morning thanking you for what you've done for us and for allowing us to wake up to have another day to live, Lord. Lord, I pray that we came here to learn more about you, to see what your word says, Lord. Lord, I pray that everyone will open their hearts, their mind, and their ears to see what you have to say, Lord, and that you'll speak through me, and it's not me speaking of myself. Lord, I pray that you, if there's someone that's not saved, that you'll convict them and save them this morning, Lord, in your precious and holy name. Amen. So the title of the sermon this morning is, Are You Tired of Running from God? Are you tired of running from God? And I have 6 points that I want us to look at, and I know that's not very Southern Baptist-like, because most Southern Baptists only have 3 points. But so I made it easy and broke it up into 2 sections. So the first section has 3 points and the second section has 3 points. So the first section is 3 signs that we are running from God. 3 signs that we are running from God. And the first one is we ignore God's word. If you look back in verse 1 of Jonah, it says, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. God is constantly trying to speak to us through his word. So the question is not, where is God and why can't I hear him? The question is, where are you and why aren't you in his word? That's how we hear God, is by being in his word. And I think there's really 2 answers as to why we can't, or as to why we're not in his word. And the first one is, we don't like what God's word says. You see, Jonah knew that God wanted him to go to Nineveh, but Jonah didn't like it, so he disregarded what God had called him to do. When we run away from God, it usually starts by not being in His Word like we should be. We don't like what God's Word says because God's Word has commandments and He tells us how we're supposed to live our lives, and we don't like that, so we don't read it. We don't like what God's Word says because it talks about our sin. And there's a quote, and I can't remember who said this quote, but it's a good one. It says, God's Word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from God's Word. And that's important to note, and that's true. And I've realized that more in my life. The more that I'm in God's Word, the less I am to fall into temptation and to fall into sin. But the less that I'm in God's Word, the easier it is to fall into temptation and to fall into sin. Luke 11:28 says, But He said, Yeah, rather, blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it. The word blessed means happy or blissful. Jesus is saying, happy are the ones who hear my word and keep it. If we are not in God's word and we are running from Him, we will not truly be happy. And then there's another passage in John chapter 17, verse 17, which I'm turning to right now, that says, John 17, verse 17 says, Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. God's word is truth, and it is what sanctifies us, and we need to be in it to be on the straight and narrow path. So that was the first one, was we don't like what God's word says, and then the second one is we don't love it like we should. If we truly loved God's word, we would be in it. But I know for me, myself, and I know for others, that we go throughout the week never giving a thought about God's word, never thinking about it, never opening His word. And then we try to justify it by saying, well, you know, I'm busy, I got work, I got school, I got this going on, so I don't have time to read God's word. Well, let me ask you a question. If you really care about your family, you spend time with them, right? If you really care about your friends, you spend time with them, right? So if we really care about the word of God, then why don't we spend time with the word of God? Psalms 119, 47 through 48 says, And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Psalms 119:105 says, Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God's word is what gets us through this dark world. It's what allows us to be a light in the dark world is God's word. We should love God's word and His commandments, and we should be in His word and meditate on it every single day. We need to stop ignoring God's word and start following it. The second point is we knowingly disobey God. If you look back at verse 3 in Jonah, it says, But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Notice the first two words in that verse. Verse 3, what does it say? But Jonah. But Jonah. Why are these two words so important? Well, you see, Jonah knew exactly what God was asking for him to do. But Jonah, instead of listening, he decided to disobey. And he knew that he was disobeying. And we do the same thing. You know, God has called us and has a way that He has called us to live. And we see that in Micah 6:8. It says, He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. But we don't always do that. We a lot of times disobey God and what He has called us to do. God tells us what to do and how to live, but just like Jonah, we say, but Dustin, but Matthew, but Josh, but Mary. You know, God's calling me to do this. God's wanting me to do this. Don't do this. Don't do that. But that's not what I want, so I'm not going to do it. But see, God calls us to read our Bibles every day, but Dustin doesn't want to. God calls us to go to church, but Dustin doesn't want to. God calls us to pray, but Dustin doesn't want to. Whatever it is, you know, that God calls us to do, God calls us to tithe, but we don't want to. So we don't do it because we don't want to do it. And we knowingly disobey God because we know what he's called us to do, but we won't do it because we don't want to. In Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49, it says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not, it is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." When we listen to God's commandments and do as he tells us to do and live as he's called us to live, then when the winds and the waves and the storms and the sin comes calling our name, we'll be able to defend against that. Because we're going to be doing what God's called us to do, we'll be able to defend against that. But when we don't do what he calls us to do, and when the winds and the waves come and when the sin starts calling your name, that's when we fall. And the passage says that we fall greatly. That's what the passage says. It says, "And the ruin of that house was great." So our fall is great. We start to run from God when we knowingly disobey God. And then the third point in this section is we run from God's calling. Let's look back at verse 3 again. It says, "But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Now I want to make this important note. Jonah was a prophet of God. Jonah was a prophet of God. That was his calling, to go and prophesy to people about God. And God said, "Hey, Jonah, you know what? Go preach to the wicked city of Nineveh for me." And Jonah's like, "No, I'm not going to do that because I don't think they deserve it. I don't think they deserve to be saved because they're wicked." And so he ran from God, and he ran from what God had called him to do. And, you know, I want to make this point. God has a calling in your life. He has a plan for your life. You know, if you're truly saved, God's going to use you in some way if you're truly saved. And one thing that God calls us all to do is to share his word with the world. If you look back in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, it says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." We are called to share the word of God with others. Consider this for a minute. You go to work, you go to school, whatever it is that you do every day. How many of you, raise your hands, know someone that's not saved? That's a lot of people. Okay, so if you know somebody's not saved, how irresponsible is it of you to not share the gospel with that person? Now let's think about it. Okay, think about it. You have to think of their eternal consequences. What are their eternal consequences? If you don't share the gospel with somebody, God's calling you to share the gospel with them, and you don't, and let's say they get in a car crash the next week and they die, are they going to heaven or hell? They're going to hell because they're not saved. So you got to think of their eternal consequences, and then you also got to think of your eternal consequences too. That doesn't just affect them. That affects you because you were called to share the gospel with that person and you decided not to do it. So you're going to be judged for that one day. I remember when I was in middle school, there was this girl that God wanted me to share the gospel with every day. And I didn't want to do it because I was just like Jonah. I was like, she doesn't deserve God because look how she's living her life. She proclaims to be a Christian and then she goes and talks about, you know, partying and all this stuff. So, no, she doesn't deserve that. So I push it off every day. And so the end of the school year comes by and the summer, and then I see her in the obituary in the newspaper. where she had had an accident at the lake and had passed away. And all that could go through my mind was her eternal consequence and my eternal consequence for not sharing. So you need to do what you're called to do. And then consider these two questions. What has God called you to do? What has God called you to do? Not everyone's called to be a preacher. Not everyone's called to be a musician. But everyone has a special gift from God that we can use to share the gospel with others. And then the second one, what has God given you a passion for? What's something that you love to do that you know is a passion from God? Whether that's preaching, musician, taking care of kids, whatever it is. I mean, what has God given you a passion for? I remember when God was calling me to preach a couple years ago when I first surrendered to the call to preach. The thing a lot of people don't know about me is I struggled with that call for 2 years. On and off, I was thinking, yeah, back and forth, there's no way I'm called to preach. Maybe I should preach, there's no way. And I struggled with that calling for 2 years. And I mean, I would get up and speak at youth and stuff, but I just never really saw myself as a preacher. And Rick Corum came one night during the revival on December 3rd, 2017, and he preached a message, and one of his points was, don't wait too late to do what God's called you to do. And he added to it, and he said, because if you wait too late to do what God's called you to do, then he'll take that calling away. And I remember just shaking, and even then I hadn't surrendered yet, because I was sitting there waiting for the service to be over, and I was like, it's okay, I'm just going to sit here in the pew. I was one of those, you know, grab the back of the pew really tightly and don't want to go up. So I was like, it's almost over. I get to go home, and I'll never have to think about it again. And so he gives the invitation, and I'm like, it's almost over. It's almost over. And he says, maybe God's calling somebody to preach. And I was like, well, thank you, God. You just had to do that, didn't you? So, and so I prayed about it, and I was like, God, if this is really what you're calling me to do, then show me a sign. I just felt this tug in my heart. You know, like that tug that you got when you got saved? You know how that felt? That conviction that, hey, you need to get saved? Well, I had that conviction that that was my calling. And so, I broke down about it. I came up here and announced it in front of the church with Pastor Stan. And you know, I surrendered the call to preach. But there's one thing I want to share with that is this. Whenever you do your calling, whenever you accept the calling that God has on your life, your life's going to get harder. It's going to get a whole lot harder. Satan's going to put people, things, obstacles in your way to keep you from following God's will. But when you neglect your calling from God, it is an indicator that you are running from Him. So don't run from God and do what He has called you to do. So those are the three signs that we're running from God. The next section of the sermon is three signs that God puts in our lives to bring us back to Him. First one is, God sovereignly puts storms in our life. If you look back at verse 4 in Jonah, it says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. It's important to know that this storm wasn't just like a regular storm that we might have. Now, this storm was sovereignly put there by God to get Jonah's attention. And He does the same thing in our lives. You know, how many of you have been through a hard situation, a storm, a trial? A lot of us have. And I'm not saying that every time that we go through a storm, it's because we're running away from God. But when you go through that storm, you have to ask yourself, am I running from God? Because God will allow storms to happen in your life to bring you back. Whether that's getting sick or your marriage failing or your business failing or losing your house, whatever it is that you go through, ask yourself the question, am I running from God? So if you still have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 15 with me. Luke chapter 15. And I'll be starting in verse 11 and then reading down through verse 20. And it says, "And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me,' and divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all there, arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Talk about somebody running. See, this son, he's like, "You know, I'm tired of working. Just give me what you owe me, and I'll go on my way and do my own thing." So his dad gave him what he owed him, and he left. He left the house, and he went and lived on his own. And he spent everything on riotous living. That's what the Bible said. And then this is where the storm comes in. This was this son's storm. There is a famine in the land. And he had already spent all his money and spent it on useless things. And when the famine came, there was no food. He couldn't buy food from people who had stored up. So he was stuck there with no food. And he says, "I have sinned against my Father in heaven, and I must return." You see, this son had to lose it all to realize he needed to return back to his father. And sometimes we have to lose everything just to realize we're running from God and that we need to return back to him. Sometimes God has to shake us to awaken us. So next time you're in a storm, ask yourself, am I running from God? If so, what do I need to do to return back to him? God sends the storm to show us we're running from him and that we need to return. The second point in that section is God exposes our sin. God exposes our sin. If you look back at verses 7 and 8, it says, "And they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou?" God exposes your sin. My mom has a saying, and she says it every time I get in trouble. So, I'm going to tell you. She says, "Dustin," that's how she always starts. She says, "Dustin, when you sin, God rips the covers off." And that's true. He does. If you are truly saved, and if you're truly saved and a Christian, and you sin, God will rip the covers off and expose your sin. And why does God do that? Why does God do that to us? He does that to show us that we need to return back to him, and he does that because he loves us. The sellers casted lots, and it fell on Jonah. See, God allowed the sellers to realize this storm was Jonah's fault. He exposed Jonah's sin, and that caused the sellers to go and talk to him and ask him what he had done, and God exposed him, and then you go on and he gets thrown into the sea, but we'll get back to that later. But another verse is Numbers 32:23. It says, "But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out." God will not allow us to continue in a sinful lifestyle. If we're truly saved, we will not be able to continue in a sinful lifestyle. He will expose it. He exposed Jonah's sin, and he will expose ours too. And then the very last point is point 3 Another way that God gets us back to him is he corrects us. You look at verse 17 in Jonah chapter 1, the last verse, it says, "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." So it just so happens to be that Jonah's correction was being swallowed by a fish. Now, I'm not saying that if you're sinning and you're living in a life of sin that you're going to get swallowed by a fish. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is God corrected Jonah, and that was his correction, was being swallowed by a fish. God will correct us too. God loves us and wants us to do the right thing and to do what he has called us to do. So why do you think your parents correct you? Why do you think your parents corrected you? Because they love you. They want to see you do the right thing. You know, when your parents say, "Clean your room," and you say, "I don't want to," and then you get grounded for it because you didn't do what they said. That's their way of correcting you so you will do what they asked you to do. And the same way with God. He corrects us and grounds us, as you would say, but not like our parents do. Sometimes God will allow us to fall just to see how much we need to come back to him. Sometimes his correction can be us failing just so we realize our need for him. Sometimes it'll be an illness, a sickness. Sometimes it'll be losing your marriage, losing your business. Whatever it is that you're running from God, he will allow something to happen in your life to bring you back. Proverbs 3:12 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom he delighteth." Another example of God correcting someone is Moses. If you go back to Moses, which I have to go to Numbers for that. Numbers chapter 20, verses 7 through 12, I'll read it for you. It says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord, and as he had commanded him, and Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock?" So the next two verses are the key verses, 11 and 12. "And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beast also." Verse 12, "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them." So let me kind of sum this up for you. The Israelites needed water. God said, "I want you to speak to the rock so the water will come out." Moses gets the rod. He doesn't speak to the rock. Instead, he strikes it with the rod, and the water still comes out. But he disobeyed God. He didn't do as God commanded him to do. And his correction in that was, well, you'll get to see the promised land. You just won't get to go in it. And that's the same for us. When we sin, the very first time we sin, God said, well, you won't get to go into the promised land. But there's a catch. And that catch is Jesus Christ. He sent his son to die on the cross for our sins so that we could go to the promised land and we could spend that time with him and we could go to heaven. That's if we accepted him as accepted salvation and got saved. And I'm going to end with this verse, and then we'll have invitation and I'll ask Stan to come up. It's in Ecclesiastes, the last chapter of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Verses 13 and 14, it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." So, who wrote Ecclesiastes? Solomon. King Solomon. After he lived his whole life, he finished with this: fear God and keep his commandments. God takes obedience seriously. God wants you to obey him. So here's the question. The question I want to leave you with is this: Are you tired of running from God? We've looked at signs that we are running from God and signs that God is bringing us back. But at the end of the day, it's up to you if you're going to continue to run or not. But just like I said earlier on in the message, if you don't accept God's call, He takes it away. Well, there's going to be a day where our time runs out. Our time is going to run out. And do you want to, when your time runs out, do you want to be walking down the road with God? Or are you still going to be running? Are you still going to be running from Him? Or are you going to be walking with Him? We don't know when that day is. I don't know when that day is for me. You don't know when that day is for you. We don't know our last day on this earth. Whether it's a passing or Jesus comes back, one day it will be over. And you have a choice this morning. The choice to continue to run or the choice to stop running and to change your path. And if you finish reading the book of Jonah, you later learn that Jonah got a second chance to go preach to Nineveh. And this time he's like, okay, I'm going to do it this time. Second time he goes to preach in Nineveh, and guess what? They repent. How many? How many repented, Matthew? All of them. Nineveh. The whole city repented and got saved. All of them. That can happen. That can happen here. That can happen here. You just got to accept Him. So I'm going to pray. You know, the altar will be open during invitation if you want to come pray. If you have a decision to make. But if you're not saved, you have that choice this morning to accept God and to repent of your sins and to believe in Him, or you have the choice to continue running down that road. So I'll pray. The altar will be open. Stan will come forth for invitation. So let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for all that You've done for us and all the blessings that You've given to us, Lord. We're thankful that You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, that we could accept You and have salvation and one day reach heaven, Lord. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here this morning that's running from You, that You'll convict their hearts, that they'll change their ways, and that they'll make the decision to follow You and to walk on the road with You and not to be running from You, Lord. Pray that You be with us now as we end the service. Be with us as we go throughout the rest of the day and throughout the rest of the week. In Your precious and holy name, amen.